Comes from the second book of Philippians, second verse, verses 1 to 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than ourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then we will continue from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, the first 11 verses. And this is the Easter story that we all remember. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie her and bring her to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of God! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Now we're going to find out, are you willing to be a donkey? Pastor Joe will help us understand that.
I didn't hear you hee-haw.
Not today.
Thanks, Jim. Shall we open with prayer? Gracious Father, we come before you today celebrating and just in anticipation of what Christ is about to do in our lives and in our church and in our world around us. Be with us here as we gather this morning, for we know that where two or more are gathered in your name, you will also be with them. So we can be confident of your presence here with us today. We do praise you in all that you do, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Wet my whistle after singing a soprano. "Hosanna, son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Who all here knows the meaning of the word Hosanna?
Is there anyone?
Well, according to biblical scholars, it's a joyful Aramaic exclamation of praise. Apparently specific to the Jewish major Jewish religious festivals like the Passover. So originally in its appeal, it was for deliverance. Its meaning was please save. So later it came on to liturgical usage to serve as an expression of joy and of praise for the deliverance granted and anticipated. So when Jesus came with his final presentation and the triumphal entry, I mean, this was the words that came from the lips of the people that were there. Hosanna, save us. So were they asking to be saved? I got thinking about this. Or were they praising him because they understood who he was? He was the Messiah, right? Well, the more I thought about it, I got thinking, well, these people were kind of confused, really. They weren't certain of who this guy was at all. I mean, here he comes, he's coming into town, and everybody's heard about this prophet. Nazareth. And so they've heard of the miracles he did, so they're all casting their palms down on the streets, they're laying their cloaks out, they're yelling, Hosanna, son of David. Were they asking, save us? Or were they in appreciation because they knew that God had finally sent the Messiah? The more I thought about that, and I thought, you know, everybody, we can all get caught up in that misconception. Do we know? I pray we know who this Jesus was that came in. But we still all had questions, don't we? I got thinking about the donkeys. So, every time we come to this Sunday, this Palm Sunday, and every time I think about all the hoopla that was going on, the question always came to my mind, why did God choose for Jesus to ride on a donkey? On the colt of a donkey. I mean, I think about the people that were there, the ones that might have believed that he was the Messiah, they were thinking about the scripture that came from Zechariah 9. That told them that the Messiah was going to come on a donkey. Now, there was other words who were there. And verse 11 told us that he was just, wait a minute, this is just the prophet. He's just a prophet. Who is this Jesus? Why did he come on a donkey? Like, the more I thought about that, I got thinking about donkeys and what they mean and what they were in the culture that day. So, we all know, and I had a little different misconception of who donkeys were, but you know, think about it. Donkeys, if you watch some of them old films, or maybe if you went out to the Grand Canyon, you think about old grubby miners. They used to come and they have their donkeys, they'd come alongside of them and they were heavy laden, they'd pack down, and why did they use them donkeys? Well, I thought because of the trails they had to go over, they could carry heavy loads. Maybe it was because of their short legs. You know, they were a little bit sturdier on the ground. Maybe they're a little smarter than horses when it came to finding paths and trails. They were just built sturdier, right? Why did Jesus use a donkey? And I got thinking about it, and I got reading about it a little bit. So if you were in the Grand Canyon, and any of you ever take a ride on a pack mule through the canyon? A lot of people, if they sign up, they want to take a ride down to the bottom into the canyon. And they take it on a pack mule. So they get on these pack mules. These pack mules have a tendency to scare them right to death. You know a pack mule? They like to walk right close to the edge. Ooh, that leaves everybody just shaking in their britches. Can you imagine being on one of these short-legged critters and your legs hanging out over the edge of this canyon as they're winding their way down the trail? Well, you know why they do that? It's not because they're smarter. It's not because they got short legs. It's because they like to see the edge. They get really uneasy if they can't see where the edge is. So I can just imagine people walking down. And they're loaded with these people. You see these donkeys are walking down. They're loading. They're carrying this precious cargo, just like the same precious cargo the donkey that day was carrying, wasn't he? He was carrying Christ. He was carrying the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who was going to save them, the Messiah. You think that's why God chose to have a pack mule? To have this little donkey carry our Lord and Savior? Because he knew he could be trusted. Because he knew the closer he come to the edge, come to danger, the more the donkey would be feeling at ease. You know the other reason he chose a donkey? Donkeys are short. When you're riding on a donkey, you're not riding on some noble steed, some horse. You're riding on a donkey because why? You're right at still at head level with everybody else. Now, Jesus didn't put himself above anyone else. He wanted to make sure that when he came into Jerusalem, he was just like everybody else. He was at the same eye-to-eye level. In our reading from Philippians, Paul told us he wanted us all to be like-minded in all that we do. Be like-minded in your love and your care for others. Make sure that it brings God glory. Jesus came riding on a donkey. And this donkey knew that he was carrying the most important load, just like anybody else. When they loaded one of their donkeys down and went into the canyon, they were packed full of their precious cargo. This donkey had the most precious cargo in the world to carry. The more I thought about donkeys, I got thinking about the Bible. Was this Jesus' first donkey ride? I don't think so. Although the Gospels never really tell us. But think about it. When you picture Jesus and Joseph, Mary and Joseph coming to Bethlehem, what are they riding on? Most of us think of it, they're riding on a donkey, right? Scripture doesn't tell us that, but that's what we assume. How about when they left? Every time, I think when they were moving from place to place, when they went from Egypt back to Nazareth, I'm assuming it was on a donkey because they were reliable. They could be trusted. Not to bolt, not to run. What an appropriate animal for us to be associating with this week. As we think about what Christ has done for us, think about it. God calls us to be a donkey, doesn't he? Who does he rely on to get his word across, get his message through the world? Who better than on a bunch of donkeys, a bunch of mules? I thought about this as I was writing my sermon from this week. If you read it, it's not what I'm talking about here today, most of it. But when you think about it, when God chose to ride a donkey, he chose an ordinary animal, an animal that was used every day to carry people's precious loads, no matter who they were. He didn't choose noble steeds or some pretty animal or anything that would raise him above the crowds. He chose to be eye to eye with us. That's what this Palm Sunday should mean to us. Now we have a Savior. We have a Savior from God who is above all things and in all things. And he chose to come to us on a mule. How many know the other name for a mule? I see the giggles. There's a few of you that are thinking this, aren't you? Over the years that I think of my opportunities, I often think that's what God chose me. He chose me to come and to be a pastor, to preach his word. Maybe because I'm common. Maybe it's because I've come from a long line of unqualified people. chose this ass to spread his good word, to carry his load, his most valuable cargo. A cargo that we all need to have. We need to know that Christ came to this world so that we might be free from our sins. I mean, isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what this Palm Sunday was all about? Too many in this world today, they have a misconception of who Christ is, but we know that he is the Son of God. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. Paul wrote that who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of the servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. For he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's what Christ did for us. That's why he came to Jerusalem. Think about this. You have to ask yourself, am I willing to be a donkey? Will you carry Christ wherever he goes? However he goes? Will you walk cliffs? Will you not be afraid of the edges or the extremes? Will you be humble enough to be a beast of burden? Mean to carry burdens of others. Maybe to carry the burden of your own cross. Finally, will you be a donkey? I mean, will you shout Hosanna? Glory to God on the highest. Think about this. Wait a minute. It's not hee-haw. But you know, the Bible tells us of one other donkey. And this is actually the only animal in the Bible that speaks, other than the serpent in the garden. If you read about Hannibal's donkey, it's in Numbers 22, verses 21 through 39. And you might want to read this story. But Hannibal's donkey, when he saw the angel of the Lord, knew there was danger because there was an angel who was carrying a flaming sword. He stopped. He veered off so Balaam wouldn't get killed by this angel with a sword. Balaam wasn't happy. He actually ended up beating this mule, and this mule kept turning three times straight. To finally lay down, and Balaam gets off and starting to beat this donkey severely, and all of a sudden the donkey spoke. And he told Balaam, he asked him, why do you beat me? Why is it that you don't want to listen to me? I think about that. And I think about, why did God use a mule to speak, to open Balaam's eyes? Because at that time, Balaam saw what he was doing, realized the mistakes he had made, realized in the wrong path and direction he was going. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Don't we speak out and say, Hosanna, Son of David, save us? Or maybe we're supposed to tell somebody else that they can be saved. So they can holler, Hosanna, because he did save us. He gives us the opportunity to be saved. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What do you think? Are you willing to be a donkey? Will you carry our Lord and Savior wherever he goes? Whenever he goes? Are you willing to speak out and let others know there's danger ahead? We need to be shouting, Hosanna,
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.